Still one of my favourite Outkast songs of all time. I don't know how anybody can sit still in that song.
Real fast-paced song for start.
No, I don't think how anybody can sit still in this song. You just got to keep like moving or gyrating or something.
You just got to keep bouncing your head.
Yeah. Welcome everyone to the Final Play Podcast. This week was All Star Weekend, so we'll talk about everything All Star Weekend related, and we'll go through the whole weekend probably. Minus a celebrity game, because you know it's a celebrity game, so no one really cares.
I think the only thing that was sort of worthy out of that was Stephen A. Smith getting the first technical in celebrity game history. I think that was a bit of a G up.
Well, I mean, that's just a classic Steve. And it was arguing like classic Steve A. Wood too, so
he knew the spotlight was on him. He knew what was up.
So the first game was the it's still called the Rising Stars game, but now it's the Rising Stars World versus USA team. So a mix of your rookies and sophomores sort of mixed in there, really.
I've always liked the concept of it. Like, I think especially now that how much the NBA has expanded in, you know, into the world market, and how many international players are actually playing.
How dominant a world team is now. Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Well, that's right. You know, even if it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it would have been an absolute blowout if they had this concept. But, you know, to have this concept now and the game is truly global. It's one of the cool things on sort of early or that Friday night of All Star Weekend.
Unfortunately, they did go down by 20. I mean, it's hard to sort of go into scores, but it was 151 to 131 because there's little or no defense getting played. So, which is, I've always said it, I told a mate the other day too, he goes, why is it just like that? I said, well, you know, it's an all-star game. The fans pay a lot of money for these tickets. They want to see this kind of stuff. I know you get down and dirty in the fourth quarter, but fans want to see that, and that's just the way it is. Well, the majority of fans.
You can play a little bit of defense. Like, you know, you can't just, well, somebody goes by, it's like, oh, well, there they go. You can make a little bit of effort, you know what I mean? You don't just have to stand there like a statue.
And I thought this game, and then when we talk about the All-Star game, I thought there was better defense than those in the past. All-star games.
That's why I love the concept of this all-star game, and hopefully that this concept continues to go forward. I didn't like the world, you know, the world versus the USA, but yeah, so I mean, even that, like, you know, the score wasn't as much of a gigantic score as what it could have been. You know, 151. Like, we've seen. You know, we've seen teams in the NBA put 151 up, some teams don't play or play as much defense as what they do. You know, teams like Atlanta and, you know, Washington and teams like that have got zero, you know, defensive prowess at all. But they still know how to score. So, you know, it was a bit of, like we said earlier, it turned into a bit of a Ja Morant Zion lob fest. Yeah. Towards the end,
everyone went crazy on a stupid. And with Zion, he didn't make any of his dunks, but everyone went. Their minds got blown when he decided to bend the rim for a dunk, which wasn't really a good dunk anyway.
It wasn't a great dunk. It was a bad lob. It came from Ja Morant and him trying to throw a lob between his legs. It went behind the hoop. Zion had to sort of reach to catch it and throw it in with his left hand, and it just. I don't know. It just must have been the type of the way that it hit the hoop or whatever, and it sort of bent the hoop. All it did was just sort of popped a spring. Yeah. What you would have had to do is go and sort of push the spring back up, and then the hoop's back in. But everybody just went bananas, and that video clip went viral, went absolutely, you know, ape crap.
I thought it just went
stupid. It's just like that's one of the worst dunks that I've seen Zion do.
Well, I was gonna say the thing that I took out of that dunk, how much I liked it, is how far he had to reach to bring it back to the hoop. That was pretty good. Athletically, it was. That's what I was looking at. And then I didn't realize until everyone sort of go, oh yeah, the rim's bent. But that was that's the last thing I was looking at. No.
And like I said early in the last pod as well, technically he shouldn't have been playing in that game because the New Orleans medical team has said that he will not be playing back to backs. I don't care if he played 20 minutes and there's no defense being
everybody
played.
Everybody played 20 minutes too.
Been played in that game. Sorry.
Every player in the US side got the exactly 20 minutes,
exactly,
which is pretty
minutes.
Awesome.
That's crazy how that happens.
The USA won. Miles Bridges ended up getting MVP in that game with 20 points. I don't know. I thought it wasn't he didn't stand out to me. Meaning, God, that guy can dunk. I forgot how good he can dunk, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no, he's super athletic, man. He's crazy.
I just thought, again, I've said this, and I'll probably say this in an All-Star game. I don't mind giving MVPs or like grand final wins to if you're in a losing side, you know, and you're the best player in that game, then you are the best player in that game, win or loss. And I thought,
if it's clear that you're the best player, then not too many people are going to crack up about it.
Well, I mean, RJ Barrett top scored for 27 points, but I thought Brandon Clark is coming out of nowhere for me. His ascension in the Grizzlies, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, we were talking about Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. I really wasn't talking about Brandon Clark in my head at least, until the last month.
He's definitely been a good part of what the Grizzlies are doing down there in Memphis.
They are, yeah, and that's
two games above by 500. Like, you know, look at what Phoenix did at the start of the year. They're blowing everybody away by like, wow, how good's Phoenix? And now they're like, you know, 40 games under 500, which is where they, you know, where everybody thought they would have been.
Yeah,
but you know, okay, they're not 40 games under 500, but you know what I mean. Like, they're
not.
They're whereabouts that where they should have been, but everyone was losing their mind at Phoenix at the start of the year and going, wow, look how good they're playing, even without DeAndre Ayton. And Memphis have just chipped along with a young squad, with an Andre Iguodala who didn't want a bar of playing any sort of didn't want to wear a Memphis Grizzly jersey. You know, obviously he's out of there now, but yeah, Brandon Clark, that young core, Triple J.
Oh, it's going to be, yeah, that Memphis are doing it right. And then I was in my head was a little bit questioning what they were, doing, well, I guess with their moves and everything, especially trading away their sort of high assets that they had. They had, Gasol and, who went to Utah?
Mike Conley.
So I was a bit sort of skeptical. I thought, oh, where are they going? Obviously, they're rebuilding. I get all that. But they have – well, they got Ja Morant at number two, so that was a decent pick. But they've drafted well. They drafted Jaren Jackson very well. They have – you know, just because you get your one or two pick doesn't mean you're always going to get the right person. But they have drafted
You've still got to draft – the right person, and it's, they've got a young head coach there as well. Taylor Jenkins. Who's heard of him?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Now. Like, and he's put together the right sort of system for those guys, and they're two. That's right. They're two games above 500.
I was gonna say, when you pick the right draft pick, a la Anthony Bennett, what Cleveland picked in the first at number one pick.
How did they get that so wrong?
Worst pick. Well, that'd be interesting to look into. Like, if you go back to say, we should just pick a year and just look at where, you know, high profile players were drafted and
that's unbelievable how you get that. So he wasn't even that highly touted at UNLV.
No.
Anthony Bennett.
No. And then
all of a sudden, he's the number one pick, and you're like,
he
whoa!
He came in overweight, like that was, and there was sort of questions.
What did they think they saw.
Because I think, if I remember, because for your boys, I wasn't... who was number... there was a decent... Oladipo, sorry, not your boys. Oladipo was in that draft.
Yeah, so, that's 2013.
Picked,
yeah. That's the Young draft.
Yeah, and he got drafted. So you got CJ McCollum at 10. They got drafted number 10. Giannis at number 15 by the Bucks. Steven Adams even was in there at number 12 at OKC.
That's Jokic.
Yeah, Rudy Jokic Gobert.
Jokic is a second rounder, wasn't he?
Well, Rudy Gobert was drafted at number 27. And Jokic was... No, he wasn't. He wasn't drafted in that one. Well, nothing that's coming up anyway. So, but Anthony Bennett was first. I'm just looking at these names and going, oh my God, it's ridiculous.
That was terrible.
anyway, the next was the Rising Stars Challenge, which I kind of, as you sort of talked about before we went on, it was like a blink and you miss it kind of thing.
That was unbelievable.
It was literally blink and the skill challenge is over, basically. It seems to be, with all the, I guess, the participants that are in the Rising Star Challenge, it seems to be, the Skills Challenge, Taco Bell Skills Challenge, it seems to be like they're trying to get more forwards in, and another forward won in Bam Adebayo. Or center, I should say. We both said before we went on, it's a blink and you miss it, because it's not really skills. You'd have the one chest pass, a layup, then you run down and shoot a three. I mean, really, I mean, these are NBA players. Where's the skill? Really?
No, that's right. Yeah, you weave through a couple of little dummy defender thingies. A couple of years ago, I don't know when they've ditched the bounce pass. Yeah, you know, whether they think it's too hard or whatever. That's a skill, right? A bounce pass.
Well, like, I mean,
the chest pass is a skill.
Yeah.
I think they just need to add a couple of. Yeah, a couple of extra things in there, like bring back the bounce pass, bounce pass through the hoop, and then bring in something like like an elbow jumper or something like that. You know, not just a pull up three. Yeah, a length of the court layup. Okay, that's cool. But bring in something like an elbow jumper or just, you know what I mean? Just something to sort of to bring in the actual skill. You know, if they want to test everybody's skill in an array of different things. Not just dribbling through a couple of cones essentially, and then everybody shooting threes now.
Yeah, literally every forward shooting threes. So
yeah, it's just I don't know. Just I didn't mind the winner. Yeah, he was a rank outside of Bam Adebayo, but I just didn't like how sort of phony it sort of felt and how quick it went.
If there wasn't
ad breaks.
Yeah,
that would have been over in like 6 minutes.
I agree. I think at least bring back the bounce pass. That would probably add in probably another 10 minutes to it. But at least, I don't see a problem with bringing something back.
A dribble, chest pass, a full court layup, and then a three.
Yeah,
like, I don't get it.
Next was the 3-point contest, the Mountain Dew 3-point contest. May as well. I'm looking at all of them there. I might as well plug them all. It might throw a sponsor our way.
I'm sure those are high execs of PepsiCo are listening to us. So give us a shout.
which was a high scoring. I mean, I guess during the whole thing, they did introduce two green ball or long 40-foot shots that if you got it in a Mountain Dew shot, that you got 3 points. So that sort of jacked the scores up a little bit.
How many people forgot about it and missed it?
Yeah, Yeah. And my thing is, when I was looking at it,
they went, "Oh, whoops."
They added. I think it was 10, 15 seconds. I think they added to it, or was it 20 seconds?
10 seconds. So it was a minute.
Maybe that was too much because everybody was pretty much. They got to the last rack and they still had a good 15 seconds left. They were taking their time.
I can't remember. I think it might have been Devin Booker in the first round that nearly ran out of time. It's just like, wow, he must have been really thinking about his shot.
Yeah. It just seemed it made me shave 5 seconds off it, but they were pretty much done. They were on that last rack and they were pretty much ready to go. Yeah.
But super high scoring in that first round though, yeah. Like 26.
Yeah.
Got you into the final. Like that was crazy.
Well, the final ended up being Buddy Hield, Devin Booker, and I think it was Bertens, the third guy.
Davis, not Dave. Don't say Davis, it's Davis. Davis
Bertens.
Yeah, he was a bit of a long shot to get in there, but he was great.
Yeah. And ended up winning Buddy Hield winning on the last shot.
The last shot. That was insane.
Yeah.
That was really exciting. Like that had Reggie Miller. Yeah, losing himself on the commentary team. That was excellent. Like, yeah, Buddy Hield on the last shot, and you see Devin Booker's face as he's watching. He's like, "Oh, I've got it won," and the last shot goes in.
He just I think he's still carrying a chip on his shoulder.
The last round, he had to clear. He had to make the last six shots to win.
Devin Booker, he still felt like he had a chip on his shoulder for not being snubbed in this whole All-Star weekend. He just had a serious chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
He just didn't look happy.
Not really. Like he looked like he was trying to play a little bit, not so too hard or anything in the All-Star game. But, you know, he looked like he had a little bit of a chip on the shoulder. And it's just like, honestly, who are you leaving out? The only person I could have think that you could maybe leave out for him is Kyle Lowry, but Kyle Lowry's in a different conference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I couldn't think of anybody. The only person I'd leave out of that hole, was Kyle Lowry, but that's Kyle the Lowry. East. So.
And the other thing that shocked me about that, you know, Kyle Lowry's a six-time All-Star? Six! Six!
Yeah, no, actually, now you say it, yeah, it is pretty shocking, really.
A six-time All-Star? I was stunned.
He is a bit of a fan favorite, but really,
I was stunned.
But like, if you stay, damn. I mean, he's been in the East the whole time. I'm not being thing on the East, but
he's been Memphis for a little while. But he wasn't playing at All Star level in Memphis.
No.
Yeah, he's made his name at Toronto.
Hmm.
That's
the last was the AT&T slam dunk. Shout out to AT&T that we don't have here.
Sprite? Well, what happened? Where's the Sprite at?
Oh, no. I'm assuming it has... Oh, no. Something to do with the whole Mountain Dew. Like, because the Pepsi cut and then...
They must have ditched the Coca-Cola company.
Well, everybody's saying it, so I may as well say it in controversial fashion by Derek Jones Jr. Over Aaron Gordon. I mean, it was... I wouldn't say it was controversial. All I would say is that the last two dunks, that they were both the same. They both deserved to be the same score, and they should have kept going until someone pulled something out.
Yeah, they should have kept going until there was either bulk misses or it was just – it's, I mean, the only thing that I thought, like, in that last round there was it was one of Aaron Gordon's dunks was pretty much exactly the same as what he did in the earlier rounds, and that's all I can say is that maybe could have cost him. But how many different times did Derek Jones Jr. do a through the legs dunk? Like it felt like every single dunk that he did was a between the legs, whether it was 360 over the top of somebody, you know, front flip, back flip, you know, triple twist with a half pike dunk coming off a springboard. Like it was just that boy's got hops. Holy moly, he's got
100%. And he said he was doing this stuff in high school, which is absolutely ridiculous. That's what he's been doing now.
That's pure insanity. And good on him as well. He got himself a shoe deal after as well. Got himself a Puma shoe deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Puma's signing up them young stars.
Speaking of bloody Hobbs, Pat Connaughton for the Bucks, brought out the yeah, I didn't think he had hopes for starters, but then he brought out the white man can't jump all the attire when he did that dunk. He had the whole
I didn't like that at all. I thought that was great. You know, that people like to use the props and you know wear the costumes. You know, Dwight Howard pulls out his old favorite Superman and had the 24 on it and everything. It's like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, as not as nasty as this is, but yeah, that's the first thing that popped into my mind. It's like, it doesn't matter what Dwight is going to do. He's going to get 50s across the board because he's dedicating it to Kobe. And not to say that the other guys weren't dedicating it to Kobe, but you know, he's come out like that. And it's like, okay, cool. You've been on the Lakers twice. You played with him a little bit, but that second dunk that he did when he put the Superman cape on and he sort of, yeah, jumped from, I get it. He jumped from a little bit far out, but everyone's got to remember he's 6'11".
And he's 32 years old as well.
That sort of shocked me a little bit too. Like he's been around a long time.
Yeah, no, I mean, like he's 6'11", he's 32. So, you know, it was full credit to him. It wasn't going to go past Aaron Gordon and
that second dunk of his and Derek Jones. Wasn't a 49. It just wasn't a 49. Like, sorry, it wasn't a 49. Pat Connaughton had a little bit better with originality. Yeah. And, you know, once again, it was just the slam dunk contest of let's just jump over people.
That's what happened in the final.
He continued on with that theme.
Well, Derek Jones jumped over two people at the start for a 50. Then Gordon answered dunking over Chance the Rapper.
How high is he? Like 5 foot five?
But that one that I thought was probably one, well, there was two good dunks, but the first one was Derek Jones Jr. when he caught the ball off the backboard and went between the legs on the finish for a 50. That was absolutely insane. Aaron Gordon comes back.
To not discredit Pat Connaughton with the jump over the top of Giannis, taps it off the backboard and flushes it two hands. I thought that was great as well.
We could see it after the replay, but no one sort of seen that backboard
at full speed. You couldn't tell, and he had to sort of motion it when he landed, and then they started showing the replay, and it's just like, damn man, that was a good dunk.
And then Aaron Gordon's dunk, that dunk of the night to me was Aaron Gordon, that one-handed 360.
That was insane.
Tossed from, I think Markelle Fultz, threw the ball. And that was ridiculous. He didn't touch the ball with his other hand. He literally had the ball the whole time in his right hand.
Cupped in the one hand, 360, flush, like just flawless.
It was ridiculous.
It was smooth. You're just like, wow. But it to me, it's sort of, yeah, that first dunk that he that Aaron Gordon did in the first sort of sudden, you know, in those sudden death rounds, he pretty much did the exact same dunk as what he did earlier in the night. And the only thing I can think of is maybe that's cost him with a little bit of originality. But then you go back to Derek Jones Jr. and that's, I mean, everything was between the legs off a lob or anything of that. Like, you know, it's, I mean, it was a great display of hops, but I didn't think there was a huge amount of originality. Do you know what I mean? Like when it comes to certain dunks. So that's all I can say about that. He's Aaron Gordon's come out now and said that's him done now. Yeah, he's not going to do another slam dunk comp.
He wasn't living in the post conference, but he walked in and said, what the hell?
Well, even after the first, took his shoes off. He's like, it's over, man. It's over.
And he was dirty.
How confident do you want to be?
What was the go? Did he have those cupping on his sort of back sort of shelf?
It looks like he'd gone through a session of cupping. Yeah, he had some big red welts on his back and shoulders and that. So, unless he'd been attacked by a Hoover by somebody, but yeah, I can only assume it was cupping.
Then we had the big game, the All-Star game. LeBron's team LeBron, I should say, the way they're sort of saying it, just edging out team Giannis 157-155. In, like we've both said, in a it's a way better or system, I suppose, but just the way that, that quarter by quarter is really good. I like it.
I like the concept.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the accumulative score as well, but you know, with the wiping of the score after each quarter. You know, we had LeBron's team win the first quarter, Giannis win the second quarter, and then after halftime, things started to ramp up defensively a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, in the third quarter, and it was a draw. I think it was 41 all in the third quarter, and then yeah, I think Team Giannis was up 9. Were they up 9 or 7 in the fourth quarter? So, and then it was add 24 onto that.
They were up 9.
Yeah, so the target score was 157. So Team LeBron ended up outscoring them by a fair margin. I really like the concept. In the first three quarters, there was something along the lines of 50 plus fast break points. You know, like three whistles, you know, three fouls or four fouls throughout the whole third. Yeah, and then the fourth quarter, it was knuckle down time. You could see Nick Nurse pacing, pacing the sideline like he was actually coaching. It was.
Kyle Lowry was taking charges.
That's what I mean. I thought MVP of the fourth quarter was Kyle Lowry.
Giannis blocking LeBron on the backboard.
What did you think? Did clean block or goaltending?
I think the timing enough. I think clean block.
I thought it was simultaneous. I don't know what the ruling is on simultaneous. When they ended up reversing the call.
They said it wasn't a good basket.
No, that was after the call was reversed. Points. They reversed the call. They called it a good basket.
Oh yeah, they
and
did.
And then they went call. To yeah, then they went to review and they called it a block.
So I see that as it's simultaneous must mean that that it's not goaltending because it there was no like it was split second stuff.
You couldn't see the bounce. Correct. Off the backboard or anything like that. So it's got to be a simultaneous.
I think we're both in agreement here. I didn't think Kawhi Leonard deserved MVP for that game.
Like we said, okay, yeah, he scored 30. He was the top scorer. But 25 of those was in the first two quarters where there was zero defense being played. Yeah. He just turned into a stop and pop shooter.
Yeah,
he was like 7 for 10 from 3 in that first quarter. He ended 8 for 14. So that means he only went 1 for 4 when all the chips were on the table, when they were actually playing defense in that third quarter, where they're playing a little bit. It slowed down a little bit in the third quarter. And even though there were still 41 points apiece scored, like that's not too bad for the skill of those types of players.
Mm.
But that's what I mean. He only scored 5 points in the second half.
I thought Giannis should have got it. I mean, his double double of 25 and 11, and it's just his defense. Like that
but
guy.
He had. It just looked like he was the only one that wanted to play defense throughout that whole game.
He was literally a freak.
He was blocking people. He was mean with some of those. He scored like 18 points in the second quarter. And granted, there was zero defense being played, but he just wanted to take it upon himself, and he wanted to put this game, you know, out of reach.
He is a freak. He's unbelievable.
For me, I thought the person that played well, got people involved, whether it was with assists or, you know, that second pass after he passed it, was CP3.
Yeah. I didn't know.
He only had 6 assists.
Yeah.
He had and that he mad alley-oop off Russell Westbrook, two-handed jam. That was awesome for a 35-year-old who's like 6'1".
Yeah.
I thought Chris Paul was the MVP.
Yeah, he definitely seemed more involved. We got the team more involved.
Yeah.
And
he hit 7 threes.
Yeah, he did hit 7 threes. it ended up being, because we were going through our team sort of at the start, we're thinking, oh, Team LeBron, the way that team is, no one's going to beat it. But they end up being, it ended up being a lot closer than we thought it was going to be, obviously.
Well, that's right. When people start to knuckle down, and like we talked about before, like two charges taken by Kyle Lowry, one on Kawhi Leonard that he got right at the end, and then the other one was a massive push off by James Harden. And if there hadn't have been anything called, that would have ended the game. James Harden hit the three, that would have finished the game. It was a late call, but it was the right call.
And then
earlier in the quarter, he tried to take a charge on LeBron James and just got flattened, which most people would. I thought Kyle Lowry was fourth quarter MVP, man. He tried to take over, and all credit to him.
Harden did push off Kyle Lowry, but Lowry did flop a little bit. He did act a part in that a little bit.
He did sort of act it up a little bit, but James Harden, there was a clear push off.
The other one was Rudy Gobert's game. He only had 19 minutes, but he got a double-double, 21 points and 11 rebounds.
He was like 8 for 9 from the field.
Yeah, yeah. He ended up finishing a 10 out of 11 shots. So yeah. That's his first All-Star game.
How many first-time All-Stars were there in this game?
There was crazy. 6 or 8, I think, if I remember correctly. Crazy. Yeah. And most of them, well, we were saying Kyle Lowry at the start, but up until their fourth quarter, but most of them did deserve to be there, the first-timers and all that. Your boy didn't get a lot of game time, but he could have had probably a little niggling sort of injury there.
He's coming off the ankle injury, Brandon Ingram. There was always going to be, if he didn't get a run like Luka Doncic did before the All-Star break, he said he was ready to go. So I think he only got 8 minutes and 2 points. And the other thing was Sabonis only ended up getting 2 points as well. So that was sort of the low scorers, but his two were two free throws. Like, he didn't make a basket. Like, he got two free throws. So, and not to say that Sabonis didn't deserve to be there. He totally deserved to be there. But yeah, that's, I mean, there was other, yeah, Ingram with his 8 minutes, like that's fine. He was able to play. Unfortunately for Damian Lillard, he wasn't able to play, and that's why Devin Booker come in. But he still got recognized at the start, with those with the lineups and everything. The Common was sort of, a bit of freestyle and was doing the introductions, which I didn't really mind. That was kind of cool. But he was still recognized there at the start. As an All-Star, because he was there on, I think Dame drop some rhymes on All-Star Saturday night.
It wasn't that bad. I've heard worse.
Definitely heard worse. I didn't mind it. So that was sort of part of the festivities and part of the hype of All-Star Saturday night. So,
At the end of the day, obviously the whole weekend was really centered around Kobe Bryant, every little aspect. Even now, this MVP award now is called the Kobe Bryant MVP. I didn't realize, just with Chris Paul, maybe he should have got MVP. He had the most minutes, except for Ben Simmons. He had the most minutes on that team.
They trust. In CP3, we trust, man. Like, he's having a hell of a season.
They are.
He's a trusted dude.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, that there would have been, that's, he's 35. How we had that bounce to get up for that two-handed jam. I didn't think it was CP3 that was coming across for that. For that two-handed alley-oop in the second quarter, and then all of a sudden you look down and you're just like, hang on a minute, that says Paul on the back of the jersey. Where did that come from?
That even
surprised LeBron.
Oh, it's LeBron, all of them on the side. Like, they didn't realize he could get up there.
What was Russ thinking that to throw that up there? Was he thinking it was just going to be a nice little lay-in alley-oop? But he flushes it with two hands. It's like, man, that was Yeah, don't hurt yourself, CP3. Like, look out.
No, your team needs you. But I guess overall the weekend, like the All-Star weekend, was pretty good. Do you have any sort of thoughts that they could have changed anything or anything that, well, except for obviously the skills challenge, but anything else they could have done better?
That's what I mean. Like we said before, that they could definitely sort of tweak the skills challenge, back to, you know, or add something else in. They probably could have gone a little bit more sort of sudden death with the slam dunk comp, like we talked about earlier. I think I didn't like the fact that there was that Dwayne Wade was one of the judges. You know, obviously in hindsight now, with the way everything sort of panned out, but you know, him only being freshly retired and having ties to those guys. Yeah, there was a Miami guy in all three challenges, shall we say, on All-Star Saturday night. I just didn't really like that part of it, that he could be so influential, he could be as influential as what he was. Like the other, the other judges on the panel, you know, Scottie Pippen, Candace Parker, Common, and was it Chadwick? We'll just call him the Black Panther. So
may as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Panther. He should have just dressed up as Black Panther. That would have been cool. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, those guys, I get it. You know, D. Wade, he's from Chicago. Like, I understand that. Where was MJ this weekend?
They're I thought in the same
house,
thing.
The United Center, that the house that Michael Jordan built.
And Michael Jordan is, like, they all wear the Jordan brand for the for every jersey. Yeah.
So, are they not allowed to show him on camera?
I don't know. Maybe
some of the supposed celebrities and everything that were there, you know, Quavo, Chance the Rapper, and then they put Kanye and Kim Kardashian on there, which looked like Kim Kardashian was wearing a doona.
Yeah. Well, Kanye's from Chicago.
She was wearing like a brown doona. Look, it was weird. Like, I didn't think it was that cold in Chicago, and it just couldn't have been that cold in the arena. But oh, do you know what I mean? They didn't do a lot
Chicago.
Of celebrity shots, yeah. Do you know what I mean, yeah. On All-Star Night. And that's all I was looking for. It's just like, where's Mike? Where's Mike?
It's interesting, actually, yeah, that for that whole Chicago weekend. Like, it is Michael Jordan. Unless he didn't want to – oh, no, it could have been a lot of things. It could have been he didn't want to take the limelight of probably the Kobe Bryant that weekend. You know, and it could have – you know, because, of, you know, Michael Jordan. I don't know, like
– Buddy Pippen got his face on TV a fair bit.
Well, that's
so
did D Wade. Well, ESPN TNT specialist. So I thought that would have been really good if I don't think has he ever judged a slam dunk, Michael Jordan. I don't think he probably ever will. But has he ever judged a slam dunk contest? I don't think he has.
We'll have to get our research team onto that.
Because just imagine him, like Chadwick Boseman, like. Yeah, it's Black Panther, but he doesn't really deserve to. Like, he has no real ties.
Is he a Chicago guy?
I don't know. I didn't think he was.
He must have, because everybody else on the panel was a Chicago, you know, native, like Candace Parker and you know, Scottie Pippen's not a. I don't think he's a Chicago native, but his name, you know, like Michael Jordan, is extremely synonymous with the Chicago Bulls. We all know Dwayne Wade's from, you know, he's from Chicago. I didn't know that that Candace Parker was a Chicago native.
I think he's from Wakanda, isn't he?
is that just outside of Chicago, or is that
know, because they just disappear every time they go into this hole. So maybe don't.
Maybe the NBA's got some stocks in vibranium or something like that. So they felt the need they should put him in there. So well, he is royalty. So that's fair enough.
South Carolina. So he has no ties.
South Carolina, aka Wakanda.
aka Wakanda, aka just outside Chicago.
that's a bit out there, isn't it? Just South Carolina. So well, yeah, I wonder how he sniped his way into being the judge there.
I know, imagine
that seems a little odd, doesn't it?
Probably not the greatest to finish on. Imagine him growing up in bloody South Carolina. That wouldn't have been great.
Well, no, probably not. That's them. That's, you know, South F.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Like, I've been to one town in South Carolina, and I thought it was there. Charleston, South Carolina, thought was really nice. But anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe there's another subsidiary of Wakandans in South Carolina as well. So you sort of, you know, might fit in there. Maybe it's just undercover, you know, a little bit of undercover royalty.
Maybe. I don't know, but yeah, he weaseled away, and he definitely probably deserved to be there, but I guess he.
He definitely did. Yeah, no, he stealthed his way in there with a costume on.
That'll do it, I guess. Finish on Black Panther. We talked about Black Panther.
Yeah, with the Black Panther action. Wakanda forever.
Don't forget to follow us on all the shows. Facebook. Now I've lost it. Oh my God. Facebook, SoundCloud, and Twitter, which is at the final play. Oh my God. At final play pod. All I'm thinking is like just trying to end with like, you know, T'Challa or something like that. I've got Black Panther on my mind now.
Oh man.
You've wrecked it for me. Have a good week, everyone. I'm just going to say my name's Jason Smith. I'm not going into Black Panther references.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like Jason Panther or something like that. We'll just end it with yeah, Wakanda forever. Enjoy the supposed second half / say last third of the NBA season. We'll go into some more fun stuff next week with the supposed second half of the season coming up and playoff
burst. Well, this is where it'll get more interesting. Playoffs. There'll be a lot of weight now that the trade deadline's gone, so there'll be a lot of waiver wires going crazy as well.
Clearing waivers. Everyone will be nice and fresh who didn't participate in All-Star Weekend. They've had more than a week off.
Yeah.
A lot of players. So they'll all be nice and fresh and relaxed, ready for the last final push towards the playoffs.
Well, have a good week, everyone. Peace.
Wakanda forever.
You're an idiot.